All right, it is 5:30 on March 4th, 2011. Just heading home from work. Got out at another decent time. I was, again, hoping to get out a little earlier, but it's a little tricky leaving work. Even if I've been there, you know, over 40 hours for the week, it's always tricky leaving before 5, especially on a Friday, because people kind of look at you like, hey, what's going on here? Or maybe that's just me, how I look at them. But anyway, trying to judge, it's kind of hard because so many people work different hours at work, so... it's easy to pretty much just use the excuse that I came in early, so I'm leaving earlier, I have more than 40 hours or whatever. I thought the 40 hours really an excuse because there are a lot of people that work overtime there, but point is, and I'm salaried, most of them are salaried, so it's not just like, hey, if I'm working overtime, I'll get time and a half. It's like, no, I'm just into my free time, but anyway, the biggest issue is actually, well, I wouldn't say an issue, but the biggest consideration, I guess, is that there's a woman sitting next to me who is in, I think she gets in just a little bit before I do, but she tends to be there, you know, around the same amount of hours that I have, maybe even a little more, I'd say. And so it's always kind of tough for me to leave because it's like, I know she's working on some project or something that I can't necessarily help her with, but, you know, I notice that she's, you know, working extra hours too, so it's not like it's easy for me to just skip out and go home. But anyway, I got out of there. I actually ended up getting Monday off. I'm not sure if my buddy's going to be in town or not, but I took the day off just in case. My buddy Joe came up Thursday, actually, and got here Thursday night up in the Northwest, and he's actually in Eugene right now. My girlfriend and I are going to go down, drive down there and pick him up on Saturday, hang out with his family a little bit, come back up here and party it up. And then I guess his dad's going to come up on Sunday for get some steaks at a steakhouse that it's called Sailors, I believe. It's a fairly famous Portland steakhouse, I believe, at least the older generation, my parents and Joe's parents and grandparents. I'm sure my grandparents know about it too, but it's one of those that they grew up going there, you know, when Portland was a simpler time, I should say, when Portland was a slightly smaller town. But anyway, I got into an interesting conversation with a friend again on texting at work, and of course texting is always a bad way to really converse because you just never really know the tone of people. You never really know what they're trying to say, and so texting is a bad way to do it. And I also learned the hard way that there's certain times when you bring up political stuff or politics or economics, and there's certain times when you don't. One thing I love about the website, for instance, is I can post stuff on there that may get people to think or may even infuriate some people, but because of the fact that we're not in a conversation, we're not going back and forth, it's not like I'm taking any jabs at anybody. So if I mention, for instance, that the government's wasting money, then people don't necessarily think that as, well, you know, they have anything to do with it. And I'll show you what I mean here in a second. My friend texted me and told me that she had some good news. She said that she had she actually put it out this way on the text, and that's why I responded the way I did. And I think the reason I responded was in response to the way she wrote it. But I think when you see the response that way, it can come off a little harsher than it would have otherwise. But she put, you know, one of those things where she's put one and then hyphen. I applied for FAFSA, which is the financial aid. I remember what it is, financial aid, something, student, I can't remember, federal application for financial student aid, I think something like that. But anyway, she filled out the FAFSA form, said she was approved, and she said yay for free money, something like that is just what she said under her, you know, first point. And then she said, two, hyphen, I'm going to, you know, believe it or not, I'm looking to join PTC and get into medical assisting, which she had done. She had been in early childhood development up to this point. So for her to go into medical assisting course was a little bit surprising. So I wrote back to her. I just put one period space, you know, just as a number one, just to kind of respond in kind to her points. I basically said, just remember there's no such thing as free money. In the case of FAFSA, it's the people that you know, government pays for through taxation and borrowing money. And then I put two period space, you know, the number two, again, just to respond to her point. I said, oh, that's awesome. I was like, what made you decide to get into medical assistance? You know, so she replied back, and of course, you can't really blame her. I mean, she did take it personally, like I was telling her, you know, you're not getting free money, you're taking from the people. And I, of course, I didn't mean it that way. I'm not telling her that she's a bad person. When it really boils down to it, I believe all these government assistance things are a problem of the government. It's not a problem of the people. So, for instance, you can't really get mad at people for finding a tax break that will save $1,000 on their taxes. Because ultimately, it's the government that allows for such tax breaks. And it's not really the people's fault that the tax break is there. And, you know, you could argue that people should have the strength to not take such tax breaks, so they should realize that the government's taking money from others to pay their taxes, whatever. But I think, you know, for the bottom line, the majority of people, especially anybody who's struggling financially, and even those who aren't, I mean, if you're making $1 million a year and you find out you can save $1,000, hey, why not? You know, that's a Gucci bag for them or whatever. So the fact that the tax breaks are there is a problem of the government. I think we need to go back to the government. We don't need to point out to people and say you're a bad person because you took this tax break. It's we point to the government and say you need to stop giving away this money to people because it's our money and you don't have the right to take it from us to give it to other people. You know, it's the old Robin Hood thing, only in this case they're taking from the poor and giving to the poor. So anyway, the point is, and the reason I say taking from the poor and giving to the poor is because the really well-off and rich people, the majority of them have ways in which they can hide a lot of their riches. They can hide money. They can put it in offshore accounts. They have means in which to avoid taxation like we could never understand. And that's purely the bottom line because, you know, when you're making millions of dollars, you're willing to spend on. You're willing to pay somebody $100,000 to find some loophole for you that could save you $1 million. So why not? You know, pay this guy $100,000, find me this loophole, and I just didn't have to pay taxes on that $1 million. And, of course, with corporations, you can create new corporations, subsidiaries, you can funnel money through them, and you can do this all legally. I'm not even just talking about illegal stuff. I'm talking about legally. One example, for instance, if you're a business owner and you want to buy a car personally, put the car in your business name. Tell them, you know, tell the IRS that it's a business expense, that you have to use it for business, and you can write that off legally as a business automobile. Of course, you have to drive it for your business. If your business has nothing to do with automobiles, then the IRS will probably come after you and ask you some questions, and if you can't answer the questions, then they may not allow you to deduct it. But as long as the IRS can search through it and they have no way to say, well, you know, we can't really stop it, then there's nothing they can do about it. Same can be said about businesses that you start that aren't profitable. You can start a business, for instance, that, you know, if your hobby is making, this, of course, isn't necessarily a rich person thing, but if your hobby is making birdhouses, for instance, you can start a business, say, or I'm going to sell birdhouses. There's nothing that says in the law you have to make money. I think it's you have to be profitable 3 out of 5 years or something like that. So if you become increasingly unprofitable, then yeah, you have to officially dissolve that business. But there's nothing that says the IRS requires that your business is profitable. You can lose money on a business. You can write that off in your expenses. So you can take a hobby, which is building bird feeders, and if you happen to lose money on it, then you know, you don't have to pay taxes on it. Take all this tax advice to heart. Don't go according to anything I say. Of course, check any. If you're planning on doing any of this stuff, check with a tax advisor. Tax laws change all the time, and I could be mistaken. So don't take my word for it. Go out and do it yourself. But my point was, I mentioned to my friend that you don't get money. There's no such thing as money for nothing. And this is actually a book that Milton Friedman wrote many years ago, which I haven't even read yet. I really want to read because I keep coming across this over and over again where people keep talking about money for nothing or people think that, you know, money grows on trees or that when the government spends money that it's free money. And that's just simply not the case. And so anyway, I mentioned that to my friend. And like I said, I realize now it's pretty much the worst time and place to say it because, you know, it's one thing if she happened to come across my blog and she happened to see me writing about something like that, then that's one thing. But if we're in a conversation, especially if it's on, you know, via text, and I tell her, hey, you know, this is, you know, whatever. Like I said, I didn't have any intention of pointing at her saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying it's not free money. It's pretty much what I was trying to state. You know, it's kind of like people think about, oh, I'm driving on the road right now to go home. This is a free road. This is not a free road. I paid for this road. We've all paid for this road. And we continue to pay for the road, actually, because they keep doing improvements on it, and they pass bonds in order to pay for roads and schools and all that. So we're still paying for it. So it's not a free road, but at the same sense, since I drive to and from work every day, and I don't have to pay a toll, I don't have to pay anything directly, a lot of people, of course, just assume this is a free road. This is something free I can do. And in all intents and purposes, it is free for that matter. But in reality, it's not a free road. It's not free for me to drive to and from work every day simply because we all have to pay for it in gas taxes and bonds, like I mentioned, and all that sort of thing. So it's this underlying problem that you have to look at that proves that this is not something that we're getting for free. We're actually in reality paying for this, but it's just something that most people don't even think about. Most people just take advantage, you know, most people, I shouldn't say take advantage of it, most people just use it without thinking all the way through as to where exactly this came from. I think I'm going to end it here. My headset's actually dying out, so I think I'm going to call it good here. I'm driving home in the rain, so I hope the rain's not too annoying. I think I drove home yesterday in the rain, too, and that wasn't too good. So I think I'll end it for now. I will pick up with this another time, probably, but go check out that book. I don't know if there's anything as a free lunch, or even do a Google search on it, see what you find. Because there really is no such thing as a free lunch. We got to realize, as a people, as American citizens, we have to realize that nothing that the government does for us is free. Somebody has to pay for it. And some people, of course, have no issue with that. They think, oh, well, the rich people pay taxes. I don't mind taking their money. But like I said yesterday, that's another fallacy. You know, to think that, I guess a closing point to bring up is when income tax first came out, it was only focused on the rich. Now think about who the income tax affects. The very, very poor don't pay income tax. I would argue that the very, very rich don't pay a whole lot. I mean, they might, percentage-wise, they might, you can argue, you know, they can afford it, whatever. But I do believe that most of them have ways in order to legally avoid taxation, and or at least minimize it. In the case of capital gains, for instance, instead of buying things outright, you can buy stock in a company, and you can earn money through the stock of that company, and you pay a much reduced income by paying taxes on the capital gain than you would, for instance, if you had a job and you're earning regular income. So there's ways around it. But the point is, the income tax first started out as a jab to the rich, and now everybody is really affected by it. And of course, the very, very poor don't pay it, but they're taking more money out of the system than they're putting into it. So anytime you're taking more out than you're putting in, there's a problem. There is a fundamental issue with you getting something that you did not put into it. If you put money into a savings account, you take the same amount out, that's fine. You put money into a bank, and then all of a sudden you take out 10 times as much, there's a problem there, because that money has to come from somewhere. Money has to come from somewhere. Money doesn't grow on trees, and you can't get a free lunch. So whenever you get something that's beneficial to that, if it's not in an even exchange where you and I decide to sell something, I will exchange cash for your good, and you'll give me the good in exchange for cash. If it's not an exchange like that, and I'm taking more than, if I'm taking more back than I put in, then I'm abusing the system, and therefore somebody is paying for what I'm doing. So just think about that. The income tax originally started out as just to go after the rich people, and now we're all affected by it. All these taxation ideas, they always start out with the best intentions, and then somebody ends up always paying for it. So when you think of business taxes, for instance, a business can easily just pass that on to the customer. And if every business in a sector has to pay a certain tax, then they all could just raise their prices, and us, as the consumer, will end up paying for it. We are the ultimate payer of taxes as the end user of these products. So we need to stop this fight where we're trying to go after the bad people, go after the rich because they have so much money and all this power. Well, all you're doing is just forcing them to raise their prices and affect everybody else who's paying for these prices. And it's ridiculous to think that, oh, I can just raise taxes on the rich and all of a sudden it's not going to affect me, because it will affect you. So we need to fundamentally think over this idea of just taxing everybody. Because when you tax everybody, all you're doing is just spreading around the money. You're just creating this system to where people are paying more than they should, and who ends up paying the most percentage-wise of their income is the poor people. Even though they may not be paying an income tax, anytime they buy a product or service, if that price is inflated, they're paying more than they otherwise should have. So you're then making them more poor by making them pay more than they otherwise would have. Anyway, I'll end it for now. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go to Eugene tomorrow, hang out with my buddy, and I guess we'll take it from there. See what happens. I'll let you know. Peace out.